Guess what day it is?
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show.
720 WGN.
Six ten in the morning, and as Steve just told you, the little boy was taken by an alligator on the, well, it'd be a shore. It's a man-made lagoon. On the edge of this man-made lagoon, as he and his family were taking a early evening walk last night. It's like 9 o'clock at Disney. 9 o'clock in Florida, it's still kind of light, right? It's not completely dark yet, I don't think. But it's that weird little twilight situation and almost dark. And apparently the little guy, it was just wading in the water, and this gator grabbed him. The gator was estimated to be about 6 feet long, which is not a big gator in Florida at all. But because of the strength of the gator, the idea that you would get anything back from the gator that the gator grabbed is almost impossible. Imagine the nightmare of the father diving in to try to save his son and unable to do it. And now, I think, Steve, you said 50 Florida authorities?
At least 50, yeah. They're all just looking everywhere on
because that. Obviously, everybody's devastated. This is beyond a nightmare.
Yeah.
A little two-year-old boy taken by an alligator.
At Disney
World. In front of his family and in front of his four-year-old sister at Disney World.
The happiest place on earth.
At one of their upscale resorts right across from the Magic Kingdom.
That's the other thing, too. It's one of the best ones there. You'd think that they would have those, that they would be alligator-free, right?
Well, a point was made early this morning, I don't know, CNN or somewhere, that because of the amount of land that Disney owns in Central Florida, there's interconnected waterways, and there's these rivulets and things where gators can, you know, easily traverse from one to another. And, you know, you see critters end up in places you wouldn't expect them all the time. So the idea that a gator can end up in a man-made lagoon, well, it sounds crazy to us. It wasn't so crazy to wildlife experts.
They remove them all the time.
And they call them nuisance gators when they're seen.
Right. Right,
and there is a human gator eating humans problem in Florida recently. I think there have been in the last 3 weeks 3 incidents where gators have been found eating dead bodies that have been whatever dumped or something in lakes and stuff.
Yeah,
three of them in the last 3 weeks.
Well, I do know this, that when I lived in the South, I lived in Charleston, South Carolina for a couple of years, lived in Florida for about a year. You do get used to seeing gators in the same way you get used to seeing pigeons around the loading dock here at the Tribune Tower. You know, on a golf course, you're surprised if you don't see a gator.
Mm-hmm.
And you just stay away from me.
Oh, Hilton Head? They have them all over the place.
Yeah, you just give them the room and you move
on. Pass to Disney World for the day.
Yeah. So, you know, it's an awful, 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 awful story. And how about the people of Orlando in a week? Yeah. In a week, you've got a 20-year-old singer murdered by a fan, and then this beyond words can't describe what happened at that nightclub, and now this in a matter of days.
Yeah, it's piling on.
Yeah, and Orlando's not a huge community. I mean,
it's a big city.
It is, but it's not big like you know, to handle something like this. I mean, can you imagine something like this happening in Chicago? I mean, it's,
well, just anywhere, right?
Yeah, right,
anywhere.
Right.
The 5 days, this sort of terrible story after terrible story.
And the law enforcement just must be exhausted.
Yeah.
I mean, they've just been at it nonstop.
Nonstop is right.
And the doctors, too. I don't know if you had a chance to see that news conference yesterday. All gut-wrenching descriptions of how those hero doctors saved lives.
Yeah, you know, and I bang on cable news all the time. I have to say, cable news has done a really good job of focusing on the victims in this story in the past several days and telling their stories. There's one story this morning of a young couple who were planning on getting married. Now they're going to be buried together. They were both killed at the club. And it just goes on and on and on. And what we seem to know now is the killer ends up in a back bathroom with several people who were hostages of his for an extended period of time. And then when the back wall was broken in, he just for good measure may have shot a couple more before he was taken out.
Yeah, and was shooting people who were already dead on the ground to make sure they were dead as well.
The focus now goes to the wife. This is not, we sort of all focused on the ex-wife because we didn't know there was a wife until early yesterday morning. And the current wife has now admitted several things, that authorities have released information that she has given up, that she actually went with him to Pulse, to Disney, and to a couple of other sites after he started talking about committing some sort of act of violence. She said she tried to talk him out of it, but she now is in serious legal bind, because if she knew a felony was coming and she didn't report it, there is still a law in the books in Florida, though apparently there's not everywhere. We'll bring this up with Karen Conti, pardon me, that she could be charged as well. And frankly, if that's the fact as we know it, and there's nothing more that we don't know in regards to her, she ought to be charged.
Yeah, and the FBI has raided the in-laws' houses as well, served search warrants on all of the houses belonging to the families.
Well, and here's where speculation comes in. The father had to know something. You know, we have no basis in fact for that, but the father had to know something, and something was going down, and something was very wrong with his son. The father himself has made a series of bizarre videos online where at different times he claims to be the president of Afghanistan, and he's encouraging the 15 people that watch his videos to take out the president, the current president of Afghanistan, because he's the actual leader. I mean, there's a whole wacky situation going on there, too. So that's why these investigations continue. Sometimes you wonder after a murder or after a travesty like this, you go, well, why are we spending all this money and time investigating something when we know what happened? We know who killed them. We know what happened from there. But there are tentacles to this that have to be figured out, along with obvious closure for the victims' families. Six 20 in the morning. We'll keep an eye on Orlando, obviously, and fill you in on some state politics going on. There is some campaign news as well. Trump is off the teleprompter. That's like saying that your most disturbed relative is off his meds. It's not healthy for him. Last night I was fascinated watching not just the original first episode of the O.J. Simpson thing, but I also watched the second episode. And it's amazing. It's sort of like when you watch Titanic. I mean, you're pretty sure the boat's going to sink at the end. So you think you know the story. And then as it turns out, Ezra Edelman, who was on the show last week, the director, who was kind of a punk. He was a little punkish when I was talking to him. He had a little bit of an attitude, but I think he was tired of talking to people about it. But Ezra Edelman was right. He goes, look, you're going to make up your own mind about this. But he and his people do a remarkable job of taking footage we've seen on a story we've known and tell it in a way that it feels like you don't know the outcome. And there is, to be fair, there is some new information there as well and some things we haven't thought about in a long time. You and I were talking about Roy Firestone off the air a minute ago. Roy Firestone in the 90s had an interview show on ESPN, which was an absolute must-see. And then it became a cliche and a joke. You may remember Jerry Maguire. There was a scene of Jerry Maguire because Roy Firestone's hook was like Barbara Walters. He was going to make you cry at some point if you were being interviewed on the show. Roy Firestone has disappeared to some extent. He still shows up on ESPN here and there. But I'd forgotten about Roy Firestone talking to OJ well after all the domestic violence stuff had come up and kind of giving him a pass. Hey, OJ.
Kinda.
Yeah, well, you know what I mean? Yeah, I mean, hey, OJ, because here's the thing. We hear everything. And it was no different than the 90s. You hear everything. You hear all the rumors. You hear everything about every famous person ever. Some of it's worthy of talking about. Some of it's not. But when OJ sat down with Roy Firestone, I promise you, Roy Firestone had seen the police reports and had heard everything about him beating the snot out of Nicole at home. And at one point, maybe even nearly killing her. So the idea that Roy Firestone would sit down with OJ and go, hey, OJ, Juice, what about the old domestic violence thing? Yeah, it was nothing.
When he accepted the excuse that the only reason why I got attention is because it happened on New Year's Eve.
Yeah, ridiculous.
Like, it's even he's a ridiculous like, oh, yeah, answer. You're right. Otherwise, it's just an argument at home. It's like,
so, Sandberg, you brought this up. You watch this and you find yourself getting angry and more angry. And you're going, wait, this was 1994 and leading up to 94. We haven't even gotten to 94 in the show yet.
Right.
And you know the outcome, but the it's really, really compelling. I see why it's gotten all the hype and the buzz that it's gotten.
And they have the two parallel things that are the anger is building. This woman knew she was going to be killed by her husband at some point.
Right.
She knew for 8 years or whatever the amount of time. And you see that, and she knows it, and people around her kind of know it, and it's just what's going to happen. And then what's happening with the LAPD stuff, that anger is built, like, I'm angry, too, for them being mistreated, you know, the whole time is...
Well, OJ did something that, and I'm not giving him credit for being smart, But OJ did something that either out of his own insecurities or maybe it was actually a plan. He buddied up with cops. He buddied up with cops when black folks and high-profile black athletes weren't doing that. And when he needed the cops, called in favors.
Yeah.
And there were cops that covered him intentionally or unintentionally, which is revealed in the show as well. One of the things that came out that I was not aware of, and I don't know if you guys read this somewhere along the way, Nicole's family was financially dependent on OJ.
I did not know that either.
So when you think of anybody, any woman who's ever been in a domestic violence situation and a million reasons why she doesn't leave, it's not just because of the kids. There are financial implications as well. And you think, well, he's going to change. He's going to be okay. There's a point in the show, in the second episode, and I'm not selling this out. Again, this is all documented information, where OJ changes and he does stuff with the kids and she thinks it's going to be okay. It's the pattern of abuse that gets repeated over and over again. There's a woman or maybe many women listening now that's going through this. And it's not your fault and you don't deserve it. And the longer you stay, the bigger the problem's going to get. You got to find a way to break free. And I can't imagine how difficult it is because I never was and never will be in that situation. But one of the reasons Nicole apparently stayed is because her father in particular, and other family members were financially dependent on OJ.
Yeah, and she had a diary entry that said, you know, I think my family will side with him anyway.
So. And by the way, that's not to say she didn't enjoy the trappings of the lifestyle at some point as well. She was a kid. She was 18 when the affair started with OJ. And OJ, by the way, would regularly parade other women right in front of her and have affairs without making any effort to hide it whatsoever, and then snapped, supposedly, you know, and loses it because she starts having a life of her own, a dating life and a sex life of her own. So couldn't be more sick and twisted. Feels like it's new. Highly recommended. Tough to watch still before you go to bed.
Yeah. Also, a piece of information that we didn't know, there was a reference that OJ's father was gay.
Yeah.
And she said, is that why he beats me? Some kind of anger, you know? And I never had heard that. Maybe I missed
it. I hadn't heard it until the hype for this show started to come out. Didn't we talk about that with Ezra, where OJ and a buddy show up at his dad's apartment? Because his dad bailed early when OJ was a kid, but sort of stayed in his life tangentially. And the father comes to the door in a bathrobe, and there's another dude in the small apartment in a bathrobe. And in the black community, as is pointed out there, certainly in the 60s, you know, men weren't gay.
Mm-hmm.
You weren't allowed to be. So it is very compelling. It is, you know, but you're going to go to bed and start punching your pillow.
Oh, yeah. I couldn't sleep because I watched it till 11:30 because it's two, you know, the second episode is 2 hours long. I'm laying there in bed feeling sad for Nicole. And
well, if you've ever known anybody that's gone through domestic violence, it'll make you extra angry. So maybe you shouldn't watch it because it's tough.
How long is the first episode?
Aren't they all 2 hours?
They're all 2 hours.
Yeah. So it's ESPN and ABC?
Yes. Two. Yeah.
Okay. I have a DVR and I haven't watched it yet.
8 o'clock tonight.
You can binge watch.
Yeah, I was having a hard time watching Roots the other day, the new Roots. Did you see it yet?
I have not seen it.
Oh, that's also hard to watch.
Snoop called and said don't watch it. And, you know, Snoop, I'm down with Snoop, so I can't go near it.
It's tough. It's a lot more violent than the first one, I'll tell you that.
Wasn't OJ in Roots, now that you mention that? Was he in the original Roots?
I don't know. Did he have a part?
I think he may have. I might be making that up.
Yeah.
It's 6:28. It's the Steve Cochran Show. We're back with your news in a moment. And Andre is off today. Vic's going to take care of the big story next on 720 WGN.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
Karen Conti will join us in just a second. We've got a number of legal things to discuss related to the Orlando situation. And later on in the 7 o'clock hour, Jordan Goodman is back. We have Jordan on at least 36 weeks, I guess, or so. Try to help you out with money and help me out with money. Help us all out with money. So staff, money questions for Jordan Goodman. Time for you to reveal your net worth or your net worthlessness. And you could text questions in, too.
We have to reveal our net worth?
Yep.
Really?
Yep.
Are you going to?
Sure.
Okay, good.
Yeah. 312-981-7200 is the number for texters as well. Karen Conti joins us now at K Conti Law, and the number at the office is?
312-332-7800.
Before I get to this landmark gun case called D.C. versus Heller that the Supreme Court handled, which leads directly to gun control in the wake of another mass murder, tell me about the wife of the murderer and what sort of legal problem she's in.
Well, you know, you not reporting a crime is not a crime. She had no obligation to go to the government and say, listen, this guy's going to commit this horrible crime. But when she takes steps to aid and abet him or to aid and abet him after the fact, then she becomes complicit in the crime and she could be charged with conspiracy or some sort of act to assist him in committing that crime. And I think they're going to charge her. I think they are going to set an example for anybody who knows that someone's going to commit a crime and drives them to the gun shop or does anything in furtherance of that crime. I wouldn't be surprised if she's charged today or tomorrow.
Now, this is news to a lot of people, I think, and I think it's important for people to latch on to this. So if I tell you, Karen Conti, that I'm going to commit a felony, you have no legal responsibility to tell the authorities. You might have a moral responsibility or might not be able to look yourself in the mirror, but you don't have to tell the police.
No, you certainly don't. You know, unless you're a mandatory reporter, as you know, psychologist or a teacher or something like that. But not in a situation like this. There is no obligation. But I don't think they're going to find, there's not much they're going to need to find to determine that she tried to help him. I mean, I think the allegation is that she did drive him to go get the gun. You know, there's going to be defenses. She was apparently a victim of domestic violence, and she probably was subdued by him to some extent. But again, that doesn't negate her culpability if she actually helped him commit the crime or hid it afterwards.
Could she say, you know, he wanted to go to this Pulse nightclub, he wanted to go to Disney, I didn't know he was scouting them out?
Sure, that's what she's going to say. But I'm hearing from, you know, again, what we read in the press is a question mark. Apparently, he did tell her that that's what he was going to do. And, you know, if she drove him there, any furtherance of the crime, that's what you see. You see these people who do something very small, but it helps them commit the crime. And if the government wants to charge you in those situations, they certainly are. And listen, what jury is going to be sympathetic to her in a situation like this?
Yeah, and there does seem to be some suspicion this morning that maybe she knows more than she's even giving up. So they're looking at that, and they're looking at the father as well. All right, let me move to D.C. versus Heller. You know the Supreme Court. What case was this, and how does it tie to what we're talking about these days?
Well, the Heller case basically said that our Second Amendment means that we can have guns. But and Scalia wrote the opinion. It was a conservative opinion, and it really changed the world here because now we have a ruling that says definitively, yes, we all get to have guns. But it doesn't say there is an unlimited right to have guns. It doesn't say that we have concealed carry under every single circumstance. It doesn't say we have assault rifles. So the question is going to be down the line from the Supreme Court, what can we do to prevent gun violence? Can we chip away at that right to Second Amendment, and how far can we chip away? Certainly we can say we can't have them in schools, we can't have them on airplanes, but where does that line get drawn that we still have that right to have a gun, but that we that it's limited for purposes of safety? We don't know yet.
Yeah, because one of the real disturbing things to me, and I think to a lot of people, is the idea that you could be on a terror watch list and be kept off an airplane, but you can still go out and buy a gun.
Well, and that's the question. You know, Florida has very liberal laws. New York, on the other hand, doesn't. New York, he would have had to have had a much more severe, there would have been a better waiting period. There would have been more investigation. But in Florida, basically, he passed everything. I mean, he was a security guard. He had guns. He passed all kinds of tests. And even though he was on that list, he was taken off the list. So maybe we look at that issue, that very issue. If you've been looked at by the FBI, again, I know the gun right people are going to say, even in this situation, he has a Second Amendment right to bear arms, and unless he's found to be guilty of something like domestic violence or he's a felon, then he gets to have a gun. But again, are we going to change our views here based upon what we have going on right now, which is, you know, a very, very serious situation?
Yeah, and it gets worse all the time. And because AR-15 style rifles are used in almost all of these mass murders, it's outrageous to me that they continue to be sold Because to me, at this point, you got to limit the firepower of the crazy people with the guns. Because you have to give people an opportunity to run. You got to give people an opportunity to get out. And it does come down to this. It's a terrible discussion to have. But you would rather be in a situation where a guy has a handgun with a limited ability to fire as opposed to a weapon like an AR-15 where many more people could be killed in short order.
Right. And I don't know if it's the automatic part of that. I'm not a gun expert, but it's the high capacity magazines that I think we're concerned about, because this is what in this case, he had a 30 round magazine, which means he doesn't have to reload until he shoots 30 rounds. And that's a lot. I mean, you can defend yourself with a little bit less than that. And if you look at all the school shootings and the shootings that have happened in the country, most of them have been done with a weapon just like this.
Yeah, and if you're a legal gun owner, many have already expressed their outrage about this in regards to the fact that these guns are being used by these killers. And there's people who want better background checks. The idea that you could go to Florida and a background, or South Carolina in the case of Dylan Roof, and a background check doesn't come back within 3 days and you could still get the gun is ridiculous. You shouldn't be able to get the gun until the background check is complete.
But what's even scarier is a guy like this who had clear domestic violence. He had trouble at the workplace. He expressed hate to every group you could possibly imagine. He was unstable. Yet he passed the test. He actually passed the test to be a security guard. So, these tests don't always flesh out the people that have the serious problems here. So that's another part that's scary.
Yeah, and if you are of the mind, you can't touch my guns, I really would like to know why, because I'd like to know what your answer is. And by the way, your answer can't be enforce the gun laws we already have. You got to be more specific than that. Tell me specifically what people can do better and be realistic about it. Within the resources we have, not just in Illinois, but around the country, what can we do that's more specific than enforce the gun laws we already have? I mean, come on. What are you really protecting? I mean, it's unfair that if you're a legal gun owner, 99.9% of you are, if you're a legal gun owner, you might have to jump through some extra hoops. Or you might have to wait some extra days. But don't you want that for the sake of protecting your rights that you have? I mean, come on. What are you protecting?
And I hear a lot of the gun people say, well, this was a terrorist thing and it was an aberration. But if you look at the guns, the shootings, the big ones, the Sandy Hooks, the Aurora Theater shooting, not all of the shooting in the church in South Carolina. These are all shootings for different reasons. Everyone has their hate reasons, whether it's jihad, whether it's they don't like gays, whether it's they don't like African-Americans, whether they're just crazy. It's easy to tag it to say, well, this is terrorist, and so we should still have our guns. There's always going to be a reason to hate and a reason to shoot if you're so inclined. So I do think we have to look at the gun laws, and I think, concealed carry, all that, I think that ship sailed. But I think when we look at these types of very, very dangerous guns, we have to have some limits. I believe that.
Yeah, and this notion that everybody should have a gun in every public place and then the good guys can shoot back. Take a look at the South and West Side over here, where you've got gangs every day shooting kids because they miss, shooting people who are innocent bystanders because they miss. I don't think going back to Miss Kitty days in the Old West is really the answer.
I'm frankly surprised somebody didn't have a gun at that nightclub. That still surprises me greatly, because as we all know, all the restaurants and bars in Chicago say you can't have a gun, but people bring them all the time. I mean, I know that is a fact. So very surprising to me.
Hang out. We got a second question or two for you. 6:48. Steve Cochran Show continues. 6:53. A couple more minutes here with Kara Conti. I'll take you off the very serious subject we had to another serious subject, but one of Hollywood interest. This more domestic violence. But Amber Heard and Johnny Depp, she now says she doesn't want alimony because he says it's blackmail while they're trying to figure out their divorce. Is there any advice that you should pass out to people who maybe are coming out of a situation, a domestic violence situation, accused or real, going into a divorce? I mean, what do people need to do?
Well, if there's domestic violence, you know, people stay with perpetrators for years. I have a case right now where there's 40 years of domestic violence, and she's coming out of it. And, you know, you don't come out undamaged. And the kids don't come out undamaged. It's something that you cannot tolerate in any way, shape, or form. And I know that people will stay with the abusers. But when you finally do extricate, you know, I think a lot of women will give up their rights because they just want to be away from it. But in this case, I mean, it's hard to be so sorry for people that have this much money. But you do have to stick up for your rights. You know, if you need child support, a lot of women will not seek child support because they're afraid to go into court with this guy because it's going to enrage them even more. But you have to have a good lawyer. You have to stick up for your rights. You have to get your orders of protection if that's necessary. And you got to hope for the best, because if it's serious domestic violence, I'm talking about serious stalking and all of that, we all know an order of protection doesn't really do the trick. So it's a very difficult situation.
I think you've said this before, but I don't want to put words in your mouth, so tell me if this is right or wrong. For someone who's truly abused, you need that police report, right? I mean, that's a very important part of this. So as much as you don't want to enrage somebody or move forward, you do have to take official acts so you avoid the my word against your word thing to the ultimate.
Absolutely. You need to document it because, you know, abusers tend to be very manipulative and very good at denying, oh, it's her fault. Oh, she did this, or she fell into, you know, she fell into the wall. But again, I think getting out and staying out is the most important thing, because it doesn't happen right away. It happens in increments. And if you can catch it and nip it in the bud, and believe me, if your parents out there and you know your child is involved in that, you've got to run and get her out of there or him out of there. And it's because once that clause take effect, then it's hard to extricate. You've got two children, then you're dependent, then you need the support, and then you're being told you can't leave and you're no good, and self-esteem goes down, and then we have a situation that does have permanent damage.
People can call you where?
Call me at the office, 312-332-7800, or you can email me at kconti@kcontilaw.com.
Sunday night with Noonan?
That's right, 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock.
Have a nice weekend. I'll talk to you later.
You too. Bye, Steve.
Karen Conti, thanks for the information. 6:56, news coming up. Jordan Goodman after 7, and a bunch of sound to play for you, including President Obama putting a butt-whipping on Donald Trump yesterday.
You're listening to The Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio in downtown Chicago on 720 WGN.
7:09 now, and we continue show number 671 at Cochran Show, facebook.com/Steve Cochran Show. Texters 312-981-7200. Before we get to Jordan Goodman, yesterday was Donald Trump's 70th birthday. And you barely heard about it because, as you know, Trump's a low-key guy. He didn't like making a big deal about this.
No, of course not.
Especially about himself.
I would think the main reason is because he doesn't want to talk about the fact that he's 70. Having said that, it's the perfect text question for the day. What do you get the guy who thinks he has everything? What do you get Donald Trump for his birthday? I feel like I should get him something. And I'm told strychnine is not a good idea. I feel like I should get Trump something. What do you get Donald Trump for his birthday? Text lines open, 312-981-7200. Best answer wins prizes before the show's over. At 7:10, we go to Jordan Goodman. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning. How about the first brick for the Mexican wall?
Oh, what a good idea. Let me put you down for that
one.
All in all, it's just a... all right, let me talk first about the British exit from the European Union, the Brexit.
The Brexit.
Mm-hmm. We're coming up on some very important days here. I think June 24th.
23rd, next Thursday, not tomorrow, the next Thursday, correct.
Next Thursday. What are the euro implications for this? And then more importantly, because we're the United States, what does it do for us?
It's already affecting us right now. So the polls every day is a different one, back and forth, within the margin of error. So we don't really know which way it's going to go. But let's for the moment say that they do vote to pull out of Europe, okay? It would be a dramatic downward shift in the worldwide economy. Can you imagine untangling Britain from Europe? All the contracts, the people, they're not sure if they're going to be able to import soccer stars from the rest of Europe into Britain.
Right.
I mean, it's just unimaginable as to how you untangle Britain from Europe. But, you know, it would be a major, major disruption all over the place. So the fear of that has already been causing interest rates to plummet around the world. Yesterday, for the first time in history, the German 10-year bond, not the 1-year, the 10-year bond went to negative, went into minus territory. So it's below 0% for 10 years. There's now $8 trillion around the world that is trading at negative interest rates. You go to a Swiss bank and say, I'd like a CD. They say, okay, we'll give you minus 3%. You give us a dollar, we'll give you back 97 cents. That's the world we're in today.
Yeah, exactly.
And this whole Brexit thing just exacerbates what I think is a deflationary trend. So that's affecting us. So yesterday, the U.S. 10-year Treasury went down to about 1.5, 1.6%, which is also pretty much the lowest we've ever seen in our lifetime. These are deflationary events, and the Brexit would just be a consolidation of that. And so the markets are very much in fear about that right now.
So for us, the impact continues to be the interconnectivity of the global markets and the fact
yeah,
that whatever
but
we're invested
does,
in.
Steve, it makes us look better, okay? When people worry about Europe and all the instability and the uncertainty about what might happen with a Brexit, you know, where is the shining place on the hill? It's the United States. So money is pouring into the U.S. from around the world, which is pushing down our interest rates. Because we considered our, you know, we got problems, but nothing compared to what they have over there. So it's helping our markets to some extent, particularly the bond market, because of all this money coming in from around the world. And not only Europe, from China, from Japan, from India, from Mexico, from Brazil, all over the places. We look like the safest place around.
I heard this morning that an 800-square-foot, one-bedroom apartment in downtown London is available for £1.5 million. And no, I'm not making that up.
Yeah.
Real estate in London would be cheaper or more expensive?
Well, that's one way to put it. Yes, the prices would go down.
Yeah.
I mean, London is a major financial center, and a lot of financial companies and banks and so on have said if they pull out, they're going to have to move a good amount of their operations to Europe somewhere, maybe Frankfurt or Paris or who knows where, because you have to be integrated. I mean, right now, they've got the British pound, but everything else is pretty much integrated with Europe. Now, you may like it, you may not like it, you don't like what Brussels is telling you what to do, but the fact is that there can be free flow of capital and people throughout the 25 countries of Europe. This could be the end of the European Union if this happens. I mean, it's ironic that a year ago, we were trying to keep Greece in the euro, right?
Right.
Now we're trying to keep Britain from going out of the euro.
Right.
These are major centrifugal forces. I mean, there's really kind of two Europes when you get down to it. There's the northern, stronger part of Europe, Germany, Denmark, Britain, you know, France, and so on. And then there's the southern tier, Greece, what they call the pigs, Portugal, Italy, Greece, Spain, that are kind of the weak parts of it. So potentially, if Europe fell apart, you know, those are the two parts. You'd have the weak southern part and the stronger northern part.
So going forward, the major concern for us is just to watch this as it develops over the next week. You know, if it's
going to make the markets very nervous, very nervous. Yes, it already has, and I think we'll continue to. Yeah, and it depends on the polls. Like every day, there's a new poll. Is it up? Is it down? And we had this a year ago with Scotland. Remember that?
Yeah, but the thing is, like everything political, you got to take the emotion out of it for the voter and try to get the voter to wrap their head around what really could happen here and what's in their own best interest. And are we too far down the road to do that?
Well, emotionally, you're right. It's people are saying, frankly, one of the big reasons that people want to pull out of Europe in Britain is refugees. I mean, there's free flow of people once you get into Europe. And they don't like the people coming from Syria and Libya and Iraq and all that. That's a big, you know, part of the anti-Europe kind of move there. And then all the rules that come down from Brussels is a big kind of like, I don't want the bureaucracy from there. It's similar to what Trump is tapping into here, actually,
yep.
when you get down to
yep,
it, as far
totally.
As the immigrants and, you know, the kind of anti-Washington. This is happening around the world. There's a real rightward swing in Europe, dramatically so. I mean, I would almost call them fascist, actually.
Yep.
In France, it's the National Front. It's called Green Dawn, I think it is, Golden Dawn in Greece. In Hungary, they're almost elected this far right-wing guy. In Germany, Denmark, all these places, it's anti-immigrant is what you get down to it. So that's a big part of what's going on here with the Brexit vote.
We'll see what happens over the next week, but know that's why you continue to hear Brexit in the news. When we come back, Jordan Goodman, you can go to moneyanswers.com and get a lot of answers, but you have a very unique opportunity here, kids. Whenever Jordan's on, you have an opportunity to text in your question. If we get some phone calls, we may do that. But in the meantime, we'll go through the basic financial tenets of your life and see what we can do to help and get some recommendations for you.
I need a dollar, 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 that's what I need. Hey, hey. Well, I need a dollar, 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 that's what I need. Hey, hey. Said I need a dollar.
Ah, the texts are flying in. We'll get back to Jordan Goodman in just a second. But people want you to know that they have ideas for Trump's 70th birthday. It was yesterday. Here's some from the listeners. I won't give you the area codes on all of these because it'll take a week. A straight jacket. This is for Trump, Trump's birthday. A basic guide to etiquette book. Get him an Obama birth certificate. How about a brain transplant? A sensitivity class? Another mail order bride? Cement shoes? A human personality? Common sense? A mirror helmet. You know how much he'd love a mirror helmet? Like a helmet that just had a mirror so he could look at his own face.
No, it
all
would
day.
Ruin his hair.
Oh, he'd love it, though. A clue. A muzzle. Duct tape for his mouth. A personality transplant. Two tickets, one for him and one for his daughter, to go to a country where he can legally hook up with her. Remember when he made all those creepy statements about, you know, if what she wasn't his daughter and she was an adult, when she was a little girl, he'd date her or something. And they made some reference to her breasts. Yikes. A kick in the crotch. A big thank you for ruffling the wet blanket of political correctness that's suffocating our country. Where are you going to get a wet blanket?
That's a good question.
I don't know how you get that.
No.
Foreign Policy for Dummies book. Birthday gift for Trump. A gift card to a tanning salon that actually works. Gift certificate to Mario Tricosi and let him get the shaver out. I like this one. There were a couple of middle finger texts here. One is a middle finger that faces backwards.
Yeah, that's right. You would have
him flip himself up. A framed picture of himself. A boot in the butt and a belt in the mouth. A dictionary. A visit to a psychiatrist. Tickets to How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying. Thanks, Dad. And since his love for Hispanic people is so strong, I give Trump a one-way ticket to Mexico City. Enjoy your new home, Donald.
Boy,
lighten it up, man.
Our listeners are giving, aren't
lighten
they?
It up. Jordan Goodman rejoins me now. There's got to be something in the as seen on TV aisle for Trump at Walgreens, don't you think?
Yes, absolutely. It's unbelievable. I mean... The people are not really focusing on this yet in the stock market. They're focusing on Brexit and other things. But when we get closer to November, this is going to be a real concern one way or the other. I mean, the two, Clinton and Trump, have two diametrically opposite views of the world on the economic front. It's like two alternate universes when you get down to it.
And the markets hate instability, right? Political instability is really bad.
So, I mean, let's just take them one at a time just for fun. So on Clinton's side, basically it would be continuation of what we've got. She wants to raise taxes on higher income people, particularly bring the capital gains rate, which is now a top of 20%, up to regular income rates as high as 40%, and various other taxes, and more regulations in labor, minimum wage, environmental. One of the big things going through right now that Clinton would definitely support is the so-called fiduciary rule through the Labor Department, which sounds like it's an obscure thing, but it's actually going to affect a lot of Americans. And now it sounds good. All these things always sound good. If a financial advisor has to put their client's interests in front of their own, which sounds obvious, but the end result is a lot of financial advisors are not going to be able to make a living, actually. They want no commissions whatsoever. So it means the average American is not going to be able to get financial advice because they're only going to be able to deal with the very top, you know, millionaire plus.
Well, that's a total political move because the fact of the matter is you get paid for whatever service you provide and whatever expertise you
bring.
They
don't want you to get paid. They think everything should be free, basically.
Yeah, well, that's not even possible. Yeah. So what about my favorite knucklehead?
On the Trump side, so he would talk about – so I'm not saying this is going to happen, but if everything he talks about actually happened, okay, let's kind of take that. So on the tax side, he's talking about cutting taxes on corporations from top of 35% maybe to 20%. Individuals, he's talking about cutting rates back from 40% now basically to 25%. So it would stimulate the economy, but it would cause a huge deficit.
Well, we could pay for it with all the money we make from Trump University.
Right. So that's on the revenue side. And then the expense side, he would dramatically increase spending on the military. I saw a recent estimate that to deport the 11 million illegals would be something like $300 billion.
Yeah, and it's just an idiot. It's a fantasy plan. Yeah. It can't happen.
you'd make that. But I'm saying on an economic front, the deficit would go up a lot because of less revenues and more spending. He's not touching entitlements or Social Security or anything like that. And so that would mean interest rates would go up. The Federal Reserve would be worried about that, and that would be bad, too. So those are your choices right there.
Yeah, so flip a coin and hope it lands in the middle, because I don't have any answers for you either. All right, a couple of questions for the listeners from the 608. We have $15,000 in an emergency fund. Would bonds make sense, or should we put it in an online savings account and get the big fat 1% APR?
I'll give you a better way.
We need the money to be liquid.
Yeah, okay. So, well, if it has to be liquid, you're not going to get more than 1% these days.
Okay.
I'll tell you what I've been doing with money recently. I've been doing something which gets 8%, which is, and I mentioned this last month, got a lot of response from your folks, commercialrealestateincomefunds.com, where they're doing commercial real estate. This is like either existing properties or new properties, where they fix them up one way or the other, a diversified portfolio of maybe 30 or 40 different properties. And you get an 8% yield, annual yield, paid monthly. You can either take your checks if you like or reinvest them. The minimum hold time is 18 months. So it's not liquid the way the caller was, but for a lot of people, minimum on that's $25,000, but no fees or commissions whatsoever. So that, in this wild world we talked about, is Brexit going to happen? Are interest rates going to drop to negative in the United States? Getting 8%, I think, is a pretty good deal. So there you go. Again, get that website, commercialrealestateincomefunds.com.
224, question for Jordan. I'm 52, still working. My 401ks, which are approximately $500,000, have made no profit in 10 years. Can I move them, and what should I do?
Yes, you can move them. I mean, typically, while you're still working at a company, they don't let you move it all out. You might be able to move some of it out. But this is what's happened. The markets have not done that much. The one area that's growing, I mean, technology is still doing it. Biotechnology. I mean, this week we had this monster deal where Microsoft is taking over LinkedIn for $26 billion. So Google, Facebook, Salesforce, those kind of companies are doing well. So that's
and Google
kind of
might buy Twitter any day now.
Don't do Twitter.
No, I'm saying Google may buy Twitter as an answer.
But I don't think so. I don't think they need it. And Twitter's a mess financially.
By the way, I don't want to get off the track here, but I don't understand that. Do you? I mean, the amount of users they have.
The huge amount of users. But have you ever bought anything off of Twitter?
Is it because they can't figure out how to do advertising? It's got to be.
They have not figured out monetization correct on Twitter the way they have at Google and Facebook. So that's the problem, and that's why the stock, which came out at 30, is now like 14, something like that.
Yeah, I know.
Constant turnover. You know it very well, Steve, right?
Yes, I have a chunk if anybody would like it at a deep discount. All right, so let's go jump to credit cards here.
Yes.
And credit card debt in this country is crushing. Credit card debt and student loan, those are the two things that are going to kill us, right?
So just this month, credit card debt went over $1 trillion for the first time ever. So people are just really piled under. When the economy is better, as it is now, people use more credit card debt. About 60% of people pay off in full every month. 40% of the people carry a balance. Now, if you carry a balance and you're paying 15, 20, 25, 30%, whatever it is, it's just killing. Remember, your money is sitting in the savings account earning nothing for you. So you can get better credit cards. A free website for that would be creditcardperks, PERKS.com. All the best deals out there. As we've talked about before, Arkansas is the place we can get the lowest interest rates anywhere in the country, typically like 6-7% long-term for that. Or frequent flyer miles, reward points, rebates, there's all kinds of different deals. But you got to go get them. What comes to you in the mail, Steve, that's the worst deal. Okay, those are the highest rates, the highest fees, the shortest grace periods.
And the smallest fine print. When it comes to carrying a balance on your credit card, is there any advantage to having a small balance in regards to your
credit report? No.
So pay it off if you can.
Full. There is no benefit whatsoever in paying 15%. No, what they want to see your payment history, and they don't care if it's paying the full balance or paying a partial balance. Just paying on time is what counts as far as your credit score and report. And you've got to stay on top of that. A website to do that would be guardmycredit.com. You can kind of monitor your credit all the time. If you've got a lot of credit card debt at high rates and you don't want more credit cards, go to a nonprofit credit counseling place. They'll get you out of debt in a way you can't possibly do on your own. My favorite place there is called Cambridge Credit Counseling. Their website, cambridgecredit.org. They're a nonprofit, a 501c3. Their phone number, 800-897-2200. I know they've helped a lot of your WGN listeners in the past. They've currently got about 1 million people who are in that circumstance. Just very high credit card interest rates, can't get out from under it on their own. That can help them.
All right, and what do you tell your kids that are going off to college this fall that are going to be, you know, opening their own mail? You know, point being that every time they go to the mailbox, there's going to be another credit card offer. There's going to be credit card offers.
Well,
in,
actually, the
on
rule
campus.
Changed. The
oh,
rule changed.
You don't do that anymore?
In 2010, they passed the Credit Card Act, and you cannot get a credit card in your own name under age 21. You have to co-sign for it. So you as the parent actually are responsible for your kids' wild spending. So, because it was a problem, and people were getting into tremendous trouble. By the time they graduated, they had $10,000 in credit card debt with no job. So under age 21, in order to get a credit card, you have to have your parents co-sign.
Oh, that's good. I did know that.
That is a good thing, yes.
All right, we got to talk about student loans. We'll do that after the news.
All
more
right,
with
sure.
Jordan Goodman coming up. Again, it's moneyanswers.com for all the resources Jordan mentions. And he does answer email from all of you at any time. And you can just shoot him an email right through moneyanswers.com. At 7:31, quick break. Back with the big story next, 7:20 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio.
WGN Chicago.
720 WGN.
We'll do the lightning round with Jordan Goodman in a second with other resources you need to know, but wanted to focus on credit cards and student loans today. And actually, Jordan, before we get that, let's go to whiny staff questions about their own financial problems.
Okay.
Dave, do you have one?
Well, it's not a whining question, but a problem.
Jordan will be the judge of that.
I do have a question, though, about an investment that was presented to me, Jordan. Callable contingent interest notes.
Wow.
Callable contingent interest notes.
Okay, it sounds like a kind of unsecured note. What kind of interest rate were they offering?
Came to him
that?
From a guy in Nigeria who said, if you're
it
unhappy with
way.
Yourself anatomically...
Yes. What kind of interest rate were they offering, Dave?
You know, I have to pull it back up because I don't have it in front of me. I'm not totally. I guess
did
I ought to know that.
Did this come from someone
right?
who you knew?
Oh yeah, no, this is somebody I trust.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
But callable,
well, obviously
means
not that much.
Callable means that the person, the borrower, can call, you know, call it at any time. So,
but if if the stock price drops below a certain point, then you own the stock.
Okay, it's kind of like a convertible. It sounds like a convertible mm-hmm. kind of thing. I don't know the details of that.
Okay.
It obviously makes a difference who on the other side, who the borrower is going to be. So
maybe I'll email it. I'll email you my question.
Yeah, do that. Email it to him. Yeah. That's actually a very good idea because Jordan loves learning things.
I do.
About scams
do.
That are being run.
I don't think
oh,
this
I'm
is
sorry.
A scam.
I don't mean scams.
No.
About emails that you've received. By the way, the Commercial Real Estate Income Fund's website is remarkably easy, and I just signed up for information in 2 seconds.
Great.
CommercialRealEstateIncomeFunds.com. A couple of people online were asking about that.
Yeah, 8%, you know, paid monthly. Annual rate, you have to stay in for 18 months, no fees, commissions whatsoever. They have a phone number, too, by the way, if that helps, 888-444-2102. And in a 0% world, to get 8% is pretty good, quite safely.
Sandberg, what do you got?
So, you know, you talk about where to put all this extra money of yours and how
yes.
to make your money work for you. But what if you're, I read an article last month in the
about
Atlantic.
About callable notes?
No, mine's real.
Okay.
In the Atlantic, the secret shame of middle class Americans said that 47% of middle class Americans can't even come with $400 for an emergency.
Right. That's correct.
And so I want to know what's these, like how... You know, at times we don't have extra money. And so where's the plan to create the extra money when you're living with all your expenses, taking up everything you're making?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the only way to do it, Mary, is to have it be automatic. Okay. Because if you don't, you've got to put aside whatever, $10, $50, $100, whatever you can afford automatically, you know, every month, because otherwise it's not going to happen. You're just going to keep... You know, living on the edge.
Well, that's the truth of being paying yourself paycheck.
Pay yourself
paycheck.
First.
Pay yourself
take
first.
Take your grandmother's
set it aside.
Advice.
But, right. By the way, Mary, is this some or Sandberg? Is this some way to tell me I'm not paying you enough?
Yes,
is this some
actually,
way
this would be
he's getting through to Steve. This is good. Yeah. This is good.
No, but more people. 47%. That's
no,
a lot.
Right.
That means half the people listening.
I don't doubt it.
Yeah,
I don't doubt it at all.
Yeah, no, you're right. But I mean, the only way to do it, and I mean, certainly a 401k is a good way. It's not liquid, but it's a way of having money. Go aside pre-tax, and hopefully you get a bit of a match as well. But you're right. There's a savings crisis. People are now reaching retirement with literally having not saved a dime. I think the number I saw recently, 40% of the people receiving Social Security, retirement income. It is their only source of income. They have not saved anything whatsoever.
Have you thought about selling jewelry at all? Because I know you had some recent jewelry purchases.
No, mm-hmm. I'm not selling that. No.
We have some news later on, Sandberg. All right, so before we run out of time, we got to get to traffic here in a second. But before we run out of time, Jordan, we have to talk about student loans.
Yes.
You have told me before this is the number one threat to the economy. This is the big kahuna.
So we just finished the graduation season now. I hope you gave a graduation speech at some really famous place,
Steve. I did. I was at Harvard, Illinois.
Okay. We added about $100 billion in new student loan debt on top of the existing $1.3 trillion. So we're up to about $1.4 trillion, give or take a few hundreds of billions here or there. Yes. So after you get out, the three things you can do are consolidate it into one at the lowest possible interest rate. A website for that, consolidatecollege.com. The second thing you can do is refinance the student loan debt. Take your private loans, your student federal loans, all of it into one at the lowest possible interest rate, typically around 2% today, depending on your credit. A website for that, sofi.com, S-O-F-I.com, and then do / money answers. They know it's me that way, and you get an extra $100. How about that?
No, that's good. That's good.
I like to hand out free money.
Nice. And SoFi, you're seeing a lot of TV commercials for SoFi.
Correct. They're
really
getting
doing a lot. Yeah, there's a big...
Last I talked to them, they're doing $1 billion of student loan refinancing per month. Per month. So there's a lot of people out there doing that. And then the third thing you can do is what's called the income-based repayment program, the IBR program, where you pay a minimum for 10 years. After that, no matter how much you owe, the rest of it is forgiven. If you work for the government, state, local, federal, post office, military, any kind of government of any kind, if you work in the nonprofit sector, or if you work for WGN.
And apparently that is a nonprofit sector, if you believe Sandberg.
That's right.
Jordan, you answer the emails, don't you?
I do, and I get loads of them. And I even call people back. I love to help you folks. You bet.
All right, moneyanswers.com. And again, for those of you who are asking the majority of the questions today, the two websites we mentioned early, creditcardperks.com and commercialrealestateincomefunds.com. Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much, Steve.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
We now have proposals from the presumptive Republican nominee for President of the United States to bar all Muslims from immigrating to America. We hear language that singles out immigrants and suggests entire religious communities are complicit in violence. Where does this stop? The Orlando killer, one of the San Bernardino killers, the Fort Hood killer, they were all U.S. citizens. Are we going to start treating all Muslim Americans differently? Are we going to start subjecting them to special surveillance? Are we going to start discriminating against them because of their faith?
President Obama, very angry, very unhappy, and very concerned about the future of America with the conversation continuing along the path that it's on. Here's more. As you know, Donald Trump has been screaming, as many, it's not just Trump, many high-level Republicans have been saying the same thing. Call it what it is. Call it radical Islamic terrorism. This is the first time, in my knowledge, that Obama's addressed it publicly. Listen.
That's the key, they tell us. We can't beat ISIL unless we call them radical Islamists. What exactly would using this label accomplish? What exactly would it change? Would it make ISIL less committed to trying to kill Americans? Would it bring in more allies? Is there a military strategy that is served by this? The answer is none of the above.
He's not wrong. He's not wrong. And it'll also fire up bigots in this country to take out their anger and frustration even more so on American Muslims. I understand people's frustration, and you want to name names, and maybe you want to call names. But he's not wrong, and he's the one in the Oval Office that has to make the decisions until he's not. ISIL is ISIS, as you know. Here's more from President Obama on actual military success against ISIS.
All told, ISIL has now lost nearly half of the populated territory that it once controlled in Iraq, and it will lose more. ISIL continues to lose ground in Syria as well. Assisted by our special operations forces, a coalition of local forces is now pressuring the key town of Manbij, which means the noose is tightening around ISIL in Raqqa as well. In short, our coalition continues to be on offense. ISIL is on defense, and it's now been a full year since ISIL has been able to mount a major successful offensive operation in either Syria or Iraq.
In regards to this campaign, Hillary is going to have to own that she and President Obama, while she was Secretary of State, didn't take ISIS seriously enough soon enough. Remember when they were called the JV? That's something he'll have to live with. That's something he'll have to be part of his legacy. But the fact is success, and American men and women on the front lines and our allies on the front lines fighting against this nightmare, they are having success. And that's good news. And that's why in times of trouble and stress, I don't care who you support, but when the S hits the fan, you support the president of the United States. I don't care if you hate him. You support the office and you support the president. And we're certainly not hearing this from Donald Trump. Trump spoke out about the president's speech yesterday. Here's his response.
I watched President Obama today, and he was more angry at me than he was at the shooter. And many people said that. One of the folks on television said, boy, has Trump gotten under his skin. But he was more angry. And a lot of people have said this. The level of anger, that's the kind of anger he should have for the shooter and these killers that shouldn't be here.
It's a ridiculous statement. But then again, for me to say Trump just made a ridiculous statement sounds ridiculous. Trump at a rally in North Carolina stuck his foot in it a little deeper last night when he was discussing, well, I don't even know how he got to this, but the fact is he's not working off the teleprompter, and when he doesn't work off the teleprompter, Donald J. gets in trouble.
Remember this. When we got out, we should have taken the oil. I'll never forget some of the pundits, most of them, they don't have the brains they were born with. They said, they're talking about a sovereign country, Iraq, crooked as hell. How about bringing baskets of money, millions and millions of dollars, and handing it out? I want to know, who are the soldiers that had that job? Because I think they're living very well right now, whoever they may be.
The afterglow of that statement was he was accusing Iraqi vets, American veterans, of stealing money. Now, the fact is, there are about 100 American vets that have been implicated, caught, tried, and or convicted of being a part of taking money off these pallets of cash that would show up in the Middle East. That's the 100 out of the thousands and thousands that were there. But what an odd move in the middle of a presidential campaign to accuse American troops of being thieves. Of course, the Trump campaign later said, no, he was talking about Iraqi soldiers. Meanwhile, back in the House of Representatives, discussion on guns came up again, and Republican Rep. Bob Dold from Illinois broke with ranks yesterday, and good for him, by the way, and said we have to have common sense changes. We have to. And good for him for standing up. Well, Dold has been invited on the show and to talk about this. We haven't made the connection yet this morning, but he's certainly welcome here. In the meantime, Democratic lawmakers are incensed and upset with Speaker Ryan and other Republican leaders for ignoring the discussion and leaving gun laws untouched when millions and millions and millions and millions of NRA campaign dollars continue to flood into these candidates. You talk about...
Without objection, five-minute voting will continue. Without objection, order. Order, without objection, five-minute voting will continue. The unfinished business is on the vote and the motion of the gentleman from Illinois, Mr. LaHood.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood. Well, kiss me, kiss me good.
8:14, all of Chicago still talking about yesterday's cartoon breakdown, where Dean and I and everybody on the show discussed the Jetsons, and there was a touch of the Flintstones. But, you know, listen, just felt like we covered it and covered it well.
That's been the topic of conversation. Anderson Cooper covered it, talking about us, talking about it.
Well, the other thing is, last night I talked to Sapelsa, And Spelsa said, do we lead with you and Dean talking about the Jetsons, or is that deeper? I said, listen, dude, I can't make that call for
this
you.
This is all anyone's talking about.
All
these camera crews in front of my house with this.
You know, these career highlights, they come in different ways, don't they?
Will it ever end?
Curb is coming back every 5 years or so. Curb Your Enthusiasm shows up. Richard Simmons is issuing a statement about the travesty of Orlando. Kevin Hart had his house broken into. It's a tiny house.
Steve means it's like a Barbie doll house. Not that it's a small house. It's like a Barbie doll
house. It's a little
house. Kevin's
small. Kevin
is small.
Kevin is small. You know, still, I got to be honest with you. One of my favorite Dean Richards moments was on a frigid cold day. Yep. I mean, like 148 below zero.
Yep.
You, and by the way, who in this picture doesn't belong? You, Kevin Hart, and Ice Cube.
One of these things is not like the other.
Did a road trip around Chicago.
That's right.
Oh, it's great. So great.
Kevin says, we're outside. That was the polar vortex winter.
Ah, that's right.
That we were out. Kevin goes, why are we doing this? This is disrespectful cold.
The cool thing is, Dean, just 2 days before, had gotten Rosetta Stone for black people. And so he could actually make out some of the things that Ice Cube and Kevin were talking about.
Yeah, Kevin's a little, because Kevin speaks so quickly. So you
it's a lot, yeah, it's a lot.
You need the translator key.
Charlie Sheen has a new job. He's a greeter at Walmart, and there's a new Nemo voice, apparently, that has some local talent. Anyway,
that's the cute, heartwarming story of the morning, the Nemo voice, an 11-year-old kid from Aurora. Right?
All that coming up, and a threat. Dean claims Kanye West is coming to town. I don't think you should throw that out lightly, my friend. That's a pretty serious thing. Are we on a stage 4 Kanye West alert? Where are we at with that?
We're on a Yeezy 5, it's called.
Which name is he going by now?
You know, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if he's still Yeezus right now.
Yeah.
Y-E-E-Z-U-S.
Right.
Before you start sending your hate mail in.
Right, right.
I can't keep track.
Yeah, it's hard to keep track.
I can't keep / couldn't care less.
That's really the key, isn't it?
Right.
The last one. It's 8:17, traffic from Mario. And by the way, Dean, the text question is, what do you get Donald Trump for his birthday? He turned 70 yesterday.
Oh, right.
Here's a few more from the listeners. A haircut, a super glued chapstick. He can keep his mouth shut.
That's a brilliant marketing idea.
A plaque that reads, I'm always right, with his face on it. A gallon of Dippity-Doo. I haven't thought about Dippity-Doo in a long time. Did you ever use Dippity-Doo when you had hair?
I did.
Oh, yeah. My sister used it all the time.
I didn't.
Maybe why I don't have hair now.
A gift card to Great Clips, a Flobee, a lot of hat stuff here, a tinfoil hat. He'd look good in that. A night with El Chapo to discuss his Mexican wall.
That's funny.
A boot to the head, Pink Floyd's The Wall. I mean, you guys are great. Keep them coming.
You can travel Chicago.
I need a haircut.
Be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richards, the entertainment editor, Channel 972.
You know, Dean, because a haircut is such a low priority in my life now.
Right.
I just, by the time it grows, and it grows out really fast where it still grows, and then I go, I need a haircut, and then I don't do it, and then it waits like 3 or 4 days. And then suddenly it's going in a bunch of different directions. So there's just a little bit of hair, but it's all in the wrong spots.
Yeah, it's not good when a bald guy needs a haircut. With me, I wind up looking like Benjamin Franklin.
And well, the woman that's cut my hair for years, she's very sweet. She's the one that air cuts it, where she just has the scissors floating over my head so she can finish the story. But she's very nice. But I've told her, put a drive-through window in. I don't even feel like getting out of the car. I just roll up to the window, stick my head out, and she's done in, you know, 30 seconds.
She's got a razor sticking out the window.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Zippity-doo-dah.
Come on.
Right.
Most of the time I go somewhere to get it buzzed, really.
Yeah.
But I have actually done it myself a couple of times. I figure, how bad can I mess this up?
And how did it turn out? Because I've thought about
fine.
That.
Fine. Really, it's, you know, you got to figure out the angles in the back a little bit. But, you know, boom, 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 you're done.
I prefer paying a lot of money for little. You know, just throwing money into the street. So that's apparently what I'm doing.
We should buzz each other.
Again? But so anyway, there's a couple things we need to go through here, but we also have staff news. So would you like to do the news first or the staff news?
Oh, I love staff news.
Sandberg, come in here. Oh, boy, they're excited about the staff news there at Channel 9.
What's going on back there?
As soon as I said staff news, everyone went, oh.
I think a gator may have eaten Larry Potash.
Is that right? All right, let me go live now to Sandberg. Sandberg, staff news. What happened to you this weekend?
I got engaged. Formally engaged. Woo-hoo.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Isn't that nice? Don't you want to know to who?
It's a gentleman named Pat Boyle.
Oh, please, it's David Kaplan.
No, it is not David Kaplan. He works with David Kaplan.
It's Pat Boyle from Comcast Sportsnet.
Yes.
Well, this is nice because we like Sandberg and we like Boyle. So this is nice.
And he's very interested now. You always refer to me as Sandberg because there's already a Mary on the show.
Yeah, Mary Esquatters writes on Mary.
And so when I get married, I'll be Mary Boyle, but... Are you going to say Boyle? That sounds kind of...
Wow, that's a good point.
Yeah, that's...
Boyle be...
Boyle he thinks Boyle sounds great, but...
Yeah, he's wrong about that.
He's had the name for him.
About MB?
MB?
MB. MB's not bad.
That's my cousin's name, MB. Yeah, Mary MB's Beth, not bad. We call her. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then we could actually write it off as a plug for the bank.
There you go. Yeah. Oh, maybe I could be sponsored.
You could. We get you a patch on all your clothing.
Every time I talk. And I like to spend money, so I...
MB brought to you by MB Financial Bank. Yeah. Dean and I want to be in the wedding.
No.
All right. Thanks.
What?
That's Sandberg.
Could have even politely thought about it for a second.
Well, you know, Dean, it's just going to be Pat and I, and he has two lovely children, Catherine and Patrick, and it's just going to be the four of us.
You clearly have never seen Steve and I come down the aisle throwing flowers down the aisle.
And we could switch it up. Like, if you want me to be the flower girl and Dean to be the ring bearer, we could do that as well.
Okay.
I'm telling you, we bring down the house with our... little wedding thing that we do.
Yeah, it's tremendous. And you know, I am ordained by the Universal Church.
I do know
to do
this.
These weddings.
Yes.
So why do a Justice of the Peace? I work for free.
It only costs, I think, $10 to do it at the at the courthouse in Skokie.
So in case you miss that, she's willing to pay $10 for me not to be there.
Do you want to hear how I got engaged, though?
Well, no, actually, here's what I want you to do. I want you to give me $20 to make sure I don't show up.
Oh, I'm going to have to pay you to keep stay away.
Yes, this is a nice story. It's sunset on Saturday.
Yes, on the 17th hole of Glencoe Golf Club, which is where we play a lot, and it's my favorite hole, and I hit a beautiful drive painted right down the middle of the fairway, and I turned around, and he's standing there crying, and I thought, well, okay.
He was very emotional about your drive.
Yeah, so, and then he started saying some really nice things, and I was like, that's great, because he says nice things all the
time. That's great.
So.
Let's go get the ball.
Yeah, I was ready, because I want to hit this. I got this Titleist hybrid that I want to hit my second shot with, so I was eager to get up to the ball.
Uh-huh. Plus, you were very hot and sweaty. So
I was. It's like 95 degrees, you know, and so then...
honey. Yeah. Yeah.
And then he
Is that the par 5 dogleg left?
It is. Oh, it's a beautiful hole. And it's like the one side is on the botanical garden side. It's really
great.
Yeah,
whatever. Russian things are she talking about now?
So when did you realize
a foreign language show?
When did you realize it was actually a proposal?
Well, when he went down on his knee.
And you thought he was having a stroke because of his age?
No.
The heat.
But I was like, I almost was like laughing because it was like cute and sweet and I wasn't expecting it and I don't handle that stuff well. So, and then he asked me to marry him and I said yes.
Oh, you did say yes?
I did say yes. Okay, I made a point of saying yes.
Yeah, you didn't want to make
so
him wait.
Why aren't you wearing the ring then?
Oh, because it's being sized.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's I get to pick it up today.
So did you not? Did so you quit giving flowers to the other guys at that point?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. That's
yeah. Cool. So he's my the ring is the best part. In case anyone's wondering, I mean,
it looks like a golf ball.
The group behind you on the tee, were they like, come on, let's go.
Yep. Right, yeah. There's
pick
like,
it up,
excuse
pick
me.
It up.
Oh, sorry, we're getting engaged here. But it was really sweet because when we were riding around, he was telling me he had called my parents earlier in the day, which was really nice. And
your dad came over with a gun?
Yes. No, my parents love Pat, so they're very excited. And so I'm
Pat
excited.
Pat Boyle's a great guy.
Yeah, and his family is really nice. They said they already consider me family, but they're excited that it'll be official, so...
Yeah, and I know what Comcast pays, so you're certainly not in it for the money.
No.
But, Pat, congratulations. I still say he's over his skis, and congratulations to you as well.
Thank you very much.
So,
congrats.
Dean, do you have any advice for the young couple?
I really just keep... no, I don't.
No, I don't.
All right, here we go. Kevin Hart, somebody broke into his
tiny
house.
Broke into his house, stole $500,000 worth of stuff.
Oh, no kidding. Is everyone going to be okay, all the tiny people that live there?
all the Barbie doll fixtures are all intact, yes.
Wow. Charlie Sheen has a new job?
He's a spokesman for a condom company.
It seems to fit the profile.
So to speak.
Is this a condom company that takes care of people who are HIV positive?
Well, no, it's a condom company that everyone can use.
But he's HIV positive. Wouldn't you think that would be a specialty sort of thing at this point, or no?
No, I mean, it's just, you know, about being careful of the exchange of fluids. But
are the condoms called Winning?
They are not. Okay. I don't know the names of them, but, he's saying, you know, to use these condoms, it will protect you from what happened to me. So,
I see. So it does have a tie back to it. Richard Simmons' statement?
He came out on Facebook yesterday talking about how, the events in Orlando, Florida affected him greatly, that, he's obviously grieving as everyone else is, but also addressed the rumors that the National Enquirer put out last week. Saying that he was transitioning to a woman. They're completely denying all of those reports, and says that regardless of the fact that he's denying it, he will always be supportive of people who are going through the journey.
And Curb is coming back. This was revealed how?
The HBO made
an
official announcement yesterday. Show's been off the air for 5 years now. Larry That's David amazing. Is on and off and on and off with the show. He said that he is going to do it. They haven't said when it will be back on. Interesting local note on this. Last year, when a co-star on the show and one of the producers of the show and also rabid Cubs fan, Jeff Garland,
our friend,
was at Wrigley Field, he said that if the show ever comes back, that he was going to get Joe Maddon on the show for sure. Gave him his word that he would be on the show for sure. So yesterday, this is what Joe Maddon told the Chicago Tribune.
I have not been contacted yet. I haven't seen Jeff in a while, Garland, so we haven't communicated, but we're all happy that it's coming back. It's still the best. It's absolutely the best. If he said he's going to make it happen, we'll make it happen.
One way you guarantee yourselves World Series tickets, I guess, if you get
Joe. That's a great point. Garland is such a schemer. Totally is. And what's the story of this Nemo voice kid?
This is an 11-year-old sixth grader from Aurora, Illinois. His name is Hayden Rowlands. You know, he's a child actor. And he auditions to be the voice, a voice, on this new Finding Dory movie, the sequel to Finding Nemo. And he gets the part of Nemo in the picture.
You're kidding.
It's he's the nicest young man. We visited with him for a couple of minutes yesterday. So how does somebody from Aurora, Illinois get to be the voice of, you know, maybe one of the most famous fish of all time?
Well, what happened was I had started acting a little bit more than I was before, and then I got a script from Pixar, and I just watched the movie, then I practiced my lines, then I watched the movie, then I practiced my lines, and I did that over and over again. And then eventually, I was just able to make my voice sort of sound like Nemo, I guess.
Kid came to play, man. He's not messing around.
The nicest young man. Very, very, very nice, very polite. Couldn't be happier for him.
And Kanye West is coming to Dean's house.
Sort of. He's going to be at the United Center. October the 7th, and then he's going to do another show at the Allstate Arena on the 8th. Tickets are going to go on sale this coming Saturday. If you're an American Express card holder, pre-sales will start tomorrow. But, you know, Steve, I have never wished and hoped, didn't need a telescope to see where I'm going. I've never been the one.
Well, the one thing I've always...
to hold my tongue.
The one thing I've always thought about you is you ain't nothing but a gold digger. And, you know, we don't need no gold digger. It's 8:30.
Dope.
It's 8:34. That's Dean Richards. He's available for birthday parties and bar mitzvahs. We'll come back, and Vic will do the big story next on 720 WGN.
I can't see Rich ever retiring. I mean, how hard is his job anyway? it's not that hard to do this work.
They are getting drenched here. And they... Confetti coming down, everything you imagined.
I never imagined anything like this.
Welcome back to Sports Beat 50. Rich King back with you here in the crowd.
Okay, we're back here on the bus, and what a ride that was.
Well, in all likelihood, the Sonics will never return to their locker room here in Chicago.
Great song, great guy, great moment. Listen, I hope you had the time of your life. Rich King, who Dave, you met when you were just a boy.
Yeah, pretty much.
And do you remember the first meeting?
Well, Rich hired me. Rich hired me.
So it was an
CBS.
Interview.
Well, yeah. Rich,
were you nervous?
Probably, yeah. Mm-hmm. He was, of course, he was a pretty young boss, too. He was only 25.
Right. Rich King joins us now as he prepares to do his final sportscast on Channel 9. There's a rumor, Rich, that this is going to be like a Cher thing, that you're going to unretire in about 2 weeks.
That's been the rumor for, you know, I've retired so many times, I guess that's a natural thing. I know this has got to be it. I already hired Lauren Majere, my replacement, so I can't go back, which is okay with me because she's headed for a great career, and I'm ready to hang it up anyway.
Favorite moments through the years. Give me two or three.
White Sox bus, 05, covering Jordan, Peyton, greats in the game, no question about it. All the Bulls championships and White Sox in 05, as I mentioned, and just on down the line. Boy, so many great memories. I'm very lucky to span such a great era in Chicago sports with all those great great athletes that we had.
Did you always enjoy the scrum, or does that get old after a while?
The scrum is what got me out. It's getting rougher every year. There's more media as the years progress, and the job has gotten harder. Although I guess that's the wrong thing to say, because really the job has really that always been easy. It's a joy to do. I mean, you're covering sports, and you're every day you're in a never land. It's fun and games. I think that what happened. My main reason for retiring was to spend time with my wife. And travel, and I didn't. Couldn't you can't do it in this business. You can't get the time off.
Yeah, it's true.
You can get 10 days off. You can't get a month off.
Athletes harder or easier to talk to now?
Harder, much harder. Back in '77, I would go in the Bears training area and talk to Jack Pardee in his office, the head coach. Have a cup of coffee, put the tape machine on, and spend a half hour with him on and off the record. I was the only guy up there in radio back in '77 and during the week. And nowadays, you couldn't get anywhere near Fox's office.
Yeah, you'd have to be scheduled through a PR guy, rescheduled, and then eventually you might get 2 minutes. Dave Innitt.
Well, you know, that's one thing that has changed so dramatically, access. And one story that Rich and I both worked on would have been in 1982, I believe, and that was the Lee Elia rant. And Rich, you were there at Wrigley Field that day. I remember I was back in the studio, and all of a sudden everything was up for grabs because Elia had gone off on the Cubs fans, and he was trotted out a little bit later and had to make an apology in front of Dallas Green. But what do you remember about that day?
I remember about that day that I was the second guy in there, and I thought I had some great stuff, and somebody else had better stuff. Less,
that's right.
He got in there first.
Was it the grobber?
The grobber got in there first, but just barely.
He got in there first. I walked out there, I thought, oh, well, I got some great stuff here. He's really opened up that I heard his stuff. I got nothing compared to what he had, but it was a crazy day. You know, the team, I think it was 5-14. Mm-hmm. It was obviously not going well. His manager's job is always on the line. And I think that he just went off on the media and on the fans. And, you know, it's one thing to go off on the media, which is, you know, fair game. But if you go off on the fans, you're asking for trouble. And, of course, he had to apologize and eventually got fired. I think he was ill-suited for the job in the first place. It's a tough job, and you have to have a pretty good skin to do it.
But, see, again, this underscores the difference, because there were two, three electronic media guys there that day at Wrigley Field. And today there would have been 100 or more, it seems like, and the cameras as well.
Back then, Dave, you had access to guys would talk to you off the record. They get you in the corner, and you had sources. Nowadays, sources of tweets. I mean, it's a whole different bag. I thought of writing somebody said, why don't you write a book on the art of you know, broadcasting and breaking stories. And it's totally changed. The book could be irrelevant. So it's a different era, no question about it.
Is Dave Innitt your best hire ever?
No question. He is. No, he is. Look at his track record. I mean, he's got Northwestern. He's got Press Box named after him. He's got a great voice. I always thought he sounded like Vince Scully. I agree with you.
And, you know, this better than anybody, Rich. The best thing about Ennett is not how good he is. The best thing about Ennett is what a good guy he is.
He's a great guy. And, you know, and he, his broadcasters, I enjoy listening to him all the time, though. Football games. It's amazing over the years how his voice is steady and sound. Yeah. And he's a very knowledgeable guy. I mean, we're playing the kind of tag here, but
What'd you pay him with that first job you hired him for when he's 22 out of Northwestern? What'd you offer him? Do you remember?
Unfortunately, the purse strings were not in my control. I'll get that caveat out there.
I'm guessing it was 15 grand. 15?
I can tell you right now, it was peanuts.
I mentioned this the other night at Rich's retirement party. I was hired by Rich and John Holtman, who was the boss. They hired me for $2.50 an hour. I was a junior at Northwestern, and I thought I'd won the lottery. I mean, I was so happy to have that money.
Oh, I remember that.
You know, working 4 to midnight.
I got one better than that. I broke in at DBM doing weekend sportscasts, and I had to talk my way into it. And I was paid $9 a show.
$9 a show.
At 15 and 45, they had the updates, and they needed a guy to do college football. So I volunteered to do college football from like noon to 8 or whatever on a Saturday and Sunday. I worked 7 days a week, and for those weekends, but I got on the air.
But you loved it. You absolutely loved it. Yeah. I remember making $120 a week and loving every minute of it. You couldn't tear me away from it.
Right.
Rich, congratulations. You deserve nothing but the best. And speaking of great guys, you are one. And I know everybody loves you. And I hope you and your wife have great travels around the world or wherever you go. So we're really happy for you.
Well, I appreciate you. I thank all the people who have watched me over the years and listened to me. I really appreciate it.
And your last sportscast is tonight on WGN TV.
Yeah, they're going to bring the weekend crew, Jackie Bang and Bob Jordan and Jim Ramsey. And we're going to go to the 9 o'clock news. Mark Sapulsa and Michael Matera are off. So they're going to send me out with the weekend.
That's nice.
24 years with those guys. It's going to be. I told Jackie Banks, she better not cry, or I'll start from it.
Well, that's nice. It's nice. Right. You deserve the best, man. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
See you, Fish.
Good to talk to you. Bye.
Rich King. Why do you call him Fish?
It's his nickname. Brad Palmer had nicknames for everybody. Brad was our boss, and he was.
Fun
fish
guy.
As in kingfish, and I know you and Brad go way back.
Yeah, right? We're tight.
Yeah, yeah. The professor.
Let's talk golf. Tomorrow, Kurt Byron will be on the show. PGA Tour winner, doing a great job with the Golf Channel and NBC Sports. Kurt will be on to preview the U.S. Open, but right now, Dave is standing by in Homer Glen to be our one listener who's going to make the picks. All right, Dave, do you understand the game? You're going to give me three names of potential winners. You want to make sure they all make the cut. Any player that doesn't make the cut, their score doubles on the weekend. Low score of all of us wins, and the tiebreaker is the winning score prediction from you. So who are your three players?
Day, Rose, and Fowler.
That's good. I like it. You're obviously a golfer. Where do you play?
I play out at Silver Lake.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah, that's nice. You ever see Andrea Darlis out there stealing golf balls from other fairways?
Actually, she took them from me.
I thought so. Winning score. Keep in mind, this is Oakmont.
I'm going to say 4 over.
Plus 4. Okay. Last time we had U.S. Open here, it was the Argentinian, the big Argentinian. What's his name? You have a crush on him, Sandberg. What's that dude's name?
Angel Cabrera.
Angel Cabrera.
Best golfer ever.
Easy. Plus 5. Was a winning score before. Dave, I like your chances, man. Thanks for calling in. Hold on. And we'll give Dave what all golfers want, a pair of tickets to see Rent.
All right.
Get the plug here. The rock musical that defined a generation, playing through July 3rd at the Metropolis Performing Arts Center in Arlington Heights. That's a stage I've been on many times. We're going to do more shows at the Metropolis. Great theater. Seasons of Love, Take Me or Leave Me, all the great iconic songs. And tickets to see Rent. So enjoy that as well. Listener Dave from Homer Glen. All right. Andrea called in her picks or texted in her picks from her sickbed. Mary, what did she say?
Andrea said Ricky Fowler,
yeah.
Justin Rose, and Jordan Spieth.
Yeah, and what's her winning score?
Well, she said 265, but that's a little high, isn't it? That's, I think she said thought that was a combined score.
Well, 265 is it's what? Part isn't Oakmont a par 70?
Oh, she's texting texting something over now.
U.S. Open is par 70 normally, so that's 15 under. That's a low score. Yeah, she may want to update
really
that.
Low.
Okay, we're
all
waiting
right.
for her update.
All right, Andrea,
score?
Tell us your winning score.
Oh, 7 under.
Seven
she
under.
Says.
Okay, minus seven. All right, that's possible. And now stop listening to the show, Andrea, and get better. all right, Mary Vandeville.
Okay, I'm going with the three J's: Jordan, Justin, Jason.
Jordan Spieth, Justin Rose, and Jason Day.
I wanted to do the Dustin in there, too, just because it sounded cool with the Justin.
Justin and Dustin?
Jordan, Jay, and yay.
Yeah, and winning score?
I don't know how to do this.
Why don't you say even par?
Okay.
Okay.
Is that good?
Well, we'll find out, won't we?
It's even, yeah.
Sandberg.
I am going Dustin Johnson, Charlie Hoffman.
Charlie Hoffman?
And
I did not see that coming.
Jason Day and plus two.
Why Charlie Hoffman?
I think he's got game.
Remember he used to have that mullet?
Yeah.
Does he wear good pants?
No, he doesn't. But he's kind of like...
Does he wear good pants?
He's like a redneck golfer.
Okay.
So is Dustin Johnson, actually.
Yeah, Dustin Johnson. Well, Dustin Johnson spends more of his time sleeping with other players' wives. That takes a lot of his day. Dave Bennett.
Well, Dustin Johnson.
Yes. Yes. Nice lead-in.
I wasn't going to pick him until you said that.
Steve. Yeah, I know.
No.
Sweet spot for you.
Dustin Johnson, Jason Day second, Rory McIlroy third, minus five.
Minus five. Oh, look at you. Doc Most texted in his picks. Listen to these wild picks. Sergio Garcia. Kevin Kisner.
Who?
Kevin Kisner.
Kevin Kisner, you know, Bob and Connie Kisner, his parents?
Oh.
Kevin Kisner and Matt Kuchar. Doc going off the board. Doc,
huge.
Text me a winning score before the tournament starts tomorrow. He did not give me one.
Wow, I might do better in this
quick,
tournament.
Quick, you and Mike, quick.
Why? Did news start a second ago? Mike, who are your picks?
Ricky Fowler.
Yeah.
Justin Rose.
Right.
And be a lot like Doc Most because he's got great pants. I'm going to go with Matt Kuchar.
Winning score?
Minus two. I'm going to go 200.
He stopped wearing pleats this year, and it's made such a difference.
I've noticed.
Okay, now I'm slowing the show down, and I'm picking Rory McIlroy, Jason Day, and Jordan Spieth.
And your score?
Plus three. And we got Bennett, Wake Knight, and Grizz standing by, but we're going to have Grzanich do the news first. He's a huge golfer. Grzanich loves golf.
I put it on whenever I need to take a nap.
Steve, wrong thing to say.
That's why he's not allowed to play in our
this
game.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
My only qualification to be a babysitter is that I used to be a baby. I mean, that's crazy. That's like saying, hey, you're sick a lot. You want to be my doctor? Or weren't you the host of a reality show? You want to be president of the United States?
Not good if you're running for president. Now you're being hit by 13-year-olds. That's Lori Mae Hernandez on last night's America's Got Talent. There's a very good idea going in town to give you a lot of fun, a lot of laughs over the next few days. So we thought we'd have Patty Vasquez come in, bring a few friends, and explain it. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
How's it been since you've been on the show?
I feel like I was just
here. You used to come
here.
On the show all the time.
I
now,
know
because
it.
You're up in the middle of the night, you're never on the show.
I miss you so much.
I miss you as well, and that's why I want you to come in.
And I'm excited to be here for the Chicago Women's Funny Festival.
All right.
See
fine.
What I did there?
Yeah,
went right
nice
back to
plug.
Topic.
You segued right into the plug. with us and see you want to do the introductions?
Jill Valentine and I'm can't remember. No, why? It's your show.
Liz MacArthur, the co-founder, is now in your fifth year, right?
Yeah. Sorry, it's okay.
That was awkward.
No, nobody
thanks,
noticed.
Thanks,
nobody
Steve.
Noticed.
Yeah, no, it was totally under the radar.
Before
totally
we gave you the mechanics of where and when, 5 years ago you come up with this. You said we're just going to put on a show. What'd you do?
Well, we work with the Chicago Sketch Fest, which okay. is a festival that's
it's a bigger
been,
deal every year.
Yeah, it's year 15 we had this year. And so we've been working on that. And about 5 years ago, we just started seeing the scene evolve and started seeing more and more women, more and more female-centric focus groups. And we were like, I think we're ready for our own deal.
A little celebration.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because this doesn't have to be some political statement about access by women. It's just it's about time we showcase women and give them more stage time.
Yeah. Show off.
And you and I have talked about this a million times off the air. All right, well, why don't we start with that? Favorite female comedian?
Oh, you know this is so hard for me to do.
No, I think I know your answer. I think I do know your answer.
What do you think my answer is?
I think it's Joan.
Joan Rivers?
Yeah.
I would say that would be Ellen DeGeneres, I think, would be up there.
Really?
Paula Pounce. I have a lot of favorites. Yeah.
All right. So you
Wanda Sykes is fantastic.
Wanda's hilarious. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. How about you two?
Lucille Ball is a big one for me.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. I'm not familiar with her. Did
you?
And?
I'm going to go with Tina Fey right now.
Can I go back on my answer? I'm sorry.
Yeah, but I was thinking.
Carol Burnett would be.
Keep going.
Yes. Tina Fey's Carol Burnett's tremendous. I guess I was thinking mostly stand up, though. But then we don't.
Well, that's the great thing about this festival.
Isn't just stand up.
It's musical comedy. There's burlesque. There's I'm a monologist. I do a solo show.
Yep. Yeah. There's all different art forms. We have women with puppets and burlesque parody and musical sketch, musical improv, all sorts.
It's rare when you say the sentence women with puppets, but it does perfectly fit here.
Yes.
All right. So explain the stage, where it is, and there's four different rooms. Right?
Yep, the show is at Stage 773. It's a four theater facility, so we've got four different kinds of theaters, and there's solo shows that take place in the Cab Theater, which is a cabaret theater, and then there's a Black Box, and there's a proscenium theater.
Mm-hmm.
For those who didn't go to theater school.
What is a proscenium theater?
It's like a movie theater. That's what I like to explain.
Yes. Okay, yep. good.
And I'll be like, what are they talking about?
I know.
Black boxes, proscenium,
the cabaret. Well, the cabaret looks just like a nightclub. You know, so you've got little tables and you have, you know, the stage is the same way. I'm in the Black Box, so it's sort of a straight on stage.
Right.
With a
good room for stand-up?
Excellent room. All the rooms are great for comedy.
Yeah, it's all intimate. They're all very intimate. It's, And there's shows every hour on the hour.
Every hour on the hour.
Every hour on the hour. And they run this like clockwork. They've got a whole crew that moves people in, moves people out. Everyone's in the lobby. There's a great bar right there, too, with all kinds of cocktails on hand.
Opens tonight.
No, Thursday.
Tomorrow.
Give us one more day.
I need more time.
I'm sorry. We needed to open it tonight.
and Liz and Jill have a nightly have a couple passes to hand to give
out.
Yeah,
we'd love to give a couple. Mm-hmm. Yeah, one night passes.
All right. So you can go to any of the shows?
Yep.
Pick a night and you can go to any of the shows the whole night.
Yep.
Like, say you want to go on Sunday. Let's say you want
to
go on Sunday.
Every show.
So you want?
Is there a theme though for each show?
There are titles to it. Like mine's called a Patty Melt because there are a lot of things that make me crazy.
Oh, that's
and
cute.
Make me, thank you,
Patty
very
Melt.
Much. And tell us about some of the other shows.
If you go online, it'll have a description, a picture, a rating, so you can see like what kind of genre, flavor, style.
Mm-hmm.
There's over 90 shows, 400 performers in 4 days.
Now you say rating, so like if you want to bring grandma, you'll know if it's the right show for her.
Yes.
That's smart.
Come
so
see me, grandma.
Grandma likes rated R. Yeah, she likes rated R, man.
She likes it. What about kids? Kids?
There's some shows that are appropriate for kids.
Yeah,
We actually have a mother-daughter show called Wire Hanger.
Yeah, it's a mother-daughter. Yeah. Mom and her 13-year-old daughter.
Oh, sweet.
Wire Hanger.
Seventh caller, tickets 312-981-7200. So they just pick the night, Thursday through Sunday?
Yeah,
All right, cool. And you can do it on a will call situation?
Yep.
All right, easy enough.
Name at the box office. It's right there on Belmont and Folsom's Fish Market across the street, by the way.
Holy moly.
Oh, it's so delicious.
Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not your first show, obviously, two of you when you pick the venue.
Are you both performing this week as well?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're in a group called Feminine Gentlemen, which Liz and I perform a two-person sketch comedy. And our concept is to not play the wives or girlfriends. You're going to see centaurs and...
Ghosts
and old women and pirates.
Somehow I feel men will be on this show. And what show are you doing?
I am doing Patty Melt on Sunday at 7 o'clock in the box.
All right,
Patty in the box. I should have done Patty in the box.
Oh,
it's all right. Patty Melt.
No, it's all right. I like Patty Melt.
Thank you.
Can you guys hang out a little bit?
Yeah.
And we got a little announcement we need to make in regards to the Tribune Media Company a second, but I want you to hang out. So consider this like, the EBS test that comes on where suddenly your TV makes funny noises?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We'll address the Dish Network outage of Tribune stations and Channel 9 in particular. So we'll get that in a second, but then I want to talk more about this. And consider it two separate giant plugs.
Giant. It's massive.
Yeah, it's a big deal. It's 9:20. More in a moment on 7:20 WGN. Ooh, yeah. 9:24, Steve Cochran Show continues live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. You know, in the swinging, swirly world of business, sometimes you, the customer, gets caught in the middle, and we never want that to happen. And you can accuse me of a little bias here, but the concern I have for your ability to, for instance, to see the Cubs today on Channel 9 is in great jeopardy because Dish Network ain't playing ball. Now, that's my opinion, not Gary Whiteman's, but I'm going to bring Gary Whiteman here, who handles public relations and things. So I don't even know your title, Gary. What is your title these days?
I handle public relations and things.
And public relations and things.
It's good. That'll work.
So to say on the card?
That'll work.
All right, so look, here's what's fair. Dish Network has a right to earn a certain amount of money. The station group for Tribune Media provides a great audience for them. But there has to be a dollar figure that makes sense for both parties.
Mm-hmm.
We ain't there.
No, we're not.
All right, so where are we at with the dispute?
Well, I'd love to tell you that we're talking, but we haven't heard any meaningful communication from Dish since we delivered our counterproposal on Sunday night. So we're moving into day three without really hearing anything from
Dish. So they haven't even responded?
No.
So you can't do anything until
we can't negotiate with ourselves. And right. As a result, you know, Dish subscribers here in Chicago, Dish subscribers around the country, but let's just focus on the Cub game for a minute. Dish subscribers here in Chicago won't get the Cubs-Nats game.
Right.
And we all know how the last series turned out here in Chicago with right. a lot of verbal jousting and great,
well,
great
it could
baseball.
Be a, could be
and
a
they're not going to get it.
Could be a preview for the NLCS.
Sure.
These are the two best teams in the National League.
Sure.
This is the, you know, your great-grandmother hasn't seen the Cubs play this well, so you want to see every game you can. And if you have Dish Network, you expect the product to be delivered. So what can people do?
Well, the first thing we're asking people to do is to make their feelings known to Dish. And they can do that by calling 855-YES-WGN-9. So that's 855-937-9469. And that will give them an outlet to get to Dish and to voice their opinion, voice their frustration. Look, we're frustrated too. It's incredibly frustrating. Let's engage. Let's talk. And at the moment, I have to say, it's almost as though Dish has said, nah, go pound sand.
But you can't ever come to a deal if... Are the people in Springfield working for Dish now? Is that what's going on? You can't ever come to a deal if you're not talking.
That's right. That's absolutely... Or engaged. At least let's push... You know, paper back and forth.
Right.
Which isn't happening.
855-YES-WGN. That's 855-937-9469. How about an email?
Well, I think...
Can they send them to me?
They can send them to me, too. And we've been getting a lot of email. And what we're really... But most of those emails, we're directing people back to that phone line.
Okay,
that's
so the best thing
the
is to pick up the phone and call.
Way of doing
okay,
it. Yeah.
Okay.
That's what we're asking people to do. And I should say, Steve, it's not just here in Chicago. We have 42 stations around the country.
Right.
And, for instance, tomorrow night, the ABC affiliates that we own... In those markets, people are not going to get the NBA Finals. And the last couple of games have been pretty amazing. In our Fox markets, and I'm talking big markets, St. Louis, San Diego, Sacramento, Denver, this weekend, no U.S. Open.
How about that?
No U.S. Open.
You don't want to get the golfers angry.
Right. If you're a Dish subscriber, you're going without it.
So it's not, brain surgery here, kids. It's a matter of two sides getting to talk business. Tribune Media has made an offer, and it's not responded to, so you can't do anything until. So at the bare minimum, call 855-YES-WGN and say, respond to the offer.
Right, and this is a, you know, I should point out, this is a track record. Dish has a track record of doing this.
The freeze
in the last right, in the last 3 years, basically 12 station groups, cable nets, have been forced off of Dish.
Right.
And their subscribers suffer as a result.
Yeah, the CBS Viacom deal a couple of years ago extended for a long time. We don't want that. Mm-hmm. We want to just get this figured out.
Right.
Find a price that works for both parties.
Right. And I should say, Steve, we're not asking for anything out of the ordinary here.
Right.
We're asking
for fair market
rates,
right.
The same rates they pay everybody else, the same rates we get from everybody else. So it shouldn't be that hard. We shouldn't get to this point. We want to get a fair deal for the value we deliver. And that's the value of the 42 stations. And we're talking also about things like local news, sports, traffic, all of that stuff. In some places, you know, where they have severe weather, like in Oklahoma, getting the weather, getting the severe weather reports, it's a big deal.
Sure. 855-YES-WGN, 855-937-9469. If you're the type that goes, you know, I write a really good email, but I'm not so good on the phone, you don't have to call up and yell at anybody. You just call up, and if you leave a message, fine. And just say, listen, I'm not looking for a fight here. I just want my Dish Network back. I want my Channel 9. Right. So please make a deal.
And let me help you with one thing, because it's 855-937-WGN-9.
Oh, WGN-9?
Right, WGN-9.
WGN-9, got it. 855-YES-WGN-9.
Right.
You know, we can post that on Twitter and Facebook, and the Cochran Show Twitter and Facebook as well, so you can pick that up off social if you want. Well, I hope they come to their senses.
Yeah, I do too. We're very frustrated because we want to be delivering this kind of programming. We've got a lot invested in it, and we know that our viewers are relying on us, and we want to get back out there.
All right, so stop sending hate mail to Gary. He's doing the best he can here. Gary Whiteman, Tribune Media, thanks for that. Give us an update.
Absolutely.
And hopefully it'll be good news.
We'll come back again.
All right, 929, big story coming up, 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Bicycle, bicycle, bicycle.
I want to ride my
talk about your bike in just a second. Your little bikey ride. You were just on a bike, weren't you?
I was on a bike for a Bike to Drive a couple of Sundays ago. It was great.
Well, it is the Bike Commuter Challenge. It's Bike Week. We'll get to it in just a second, but I want to remind you, too, we're going to check back in with our friends from the 5th Annual Chicago Women's Funny Festival, June 16th through the 19th. Starts tomorrow night. Tickets at stage773.com, 773-327-5252 or at the Stage 773 box office. More from them in a moment. Let me go to the phone where Ron is standing by. Ron, what is your last name?
Burke. Hi, Ron Burke with the Active Transportation Alliance. How are you?
Doing fine, Ron. How good a bike city are we? Are we becoming as good as we think we are?
Well, you know, we're getting there. We have a long ways to go. Bicycling Magazine rated us number two about a year and a half ago, number two in the United States. So we're getting there. We've seen a dramatic growth in the number of people biking in Chicago and even in the suburbs as well. And I think it has a lot to do with some of the new bike lanes, duty bike share, and people just giving it a try and liking it.
This is a Bike Commuter Challenge this week, Dave. Are you willing to ride your bike to work?
Well, here's my only issue. I leave my house about 4 o'clock.
Perfect. Not a lot of traffic.
And I'm about 30 miles away, and I got to be here at 4:30.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, why don't you crank that up? Leave at 3:15.
Okay, I still make it by.
Oh, you would? With the guy and the kind of shape you're in? You could do it. You absolutely could do it.
Well, you know, one of the great things about biking.
Well, hold on a second, man. I'm still trying to get Dave to ride the bike to work. Can we count on you to ride your bike to work?
What time would I have to leave to get here?
We'll do the math and get back.
Let me figure out a path that I could take.
Ron Burke is here for Bike Commuter Challenge. So what do you want people to do, Ron?
Well, hey, let me suggest this. Instead of riding all 30 miles from your home to the office, think about riding to the train station. Maybe there's a metro station nearby. That counts. Under our Bike Commuter Challenge, if you bike to the train, you know, bike anywhere as part of your commute to work, that counts. And we've got hundreds of companies all around the Chicago region competing against each other to see which ones can get the highest percentage of their employees to get on a bike this week.
Any companies you want to mention that are big participants in this?
Oh, my gosh. You know, we've had Expedia's. We were just down at Expedia's headquarters a couple of days ago. We're having a bike pit stop with lots of people stopping in, grabbing some coffee. We've had Northwestern University. There's literally hundreds. And
Dave is a proud alum from Northwestern University.
Oh,
so why don't you ride your bike to Northwestern and see if Coach Fitz will drive you in from there?
Oh, that's a good idea. I'm sure he wouldn't mind getting up at 4 in the morning.
It's just a thought. It's a cool idea, not just for the environment, but it's great for your health, and it's great for increasing the bikeability of the city and getting everybody on board.
Absolutely. Yeah, I encourage everybody to come down to the bike rally at Daly Plaza Friday morning from 7 to 9. We're going to have free T-shirts, food, and just it's a real celebration of cycling in Chicago. It's the 25th anniversary, actually, of the bike rally, Bike Week in Chicago, Bike Commuter Challenge. And, you know, like I said, we've got probably three times more people biking now than just maybe even a decade ago. It's really neat to see this growth in cycling. Like you said, it's good for the environment, good for our health, and ultimately good for business, right? And that's one of the reasons that so many businesses are competing in the Bike Commuter Challenge.
Yeah, because these companies want you to be healthier, and they want you to make sure you're taking care of yourself. 25 years ago in the first one, Dave, I don't know if you remember, there was a guy named Jim on a big wheel. That was the whole thing.
That was it, yeah. No, it's really changed. It's come a long way, yeah.
Now look at the participation. All right, if people want information, where do they go, Ron?
Well, they go to bikecommuterchallenge.org. They can also go to actortrans.org/bikeweek.
And you will be out there doing it, right?
Yeah, I just biked in this morning again. I've been biking all week from my home in Oak Park. And we'll be at the bike rally Friday morning at Daly Plaza.
All right, man. Thanks for the information. We appreciate it. We will take a break, come back, and talk a little bit more about these very funny women and how to see them all week. And Patty Vasquez's show on Sunday night. Of course, why don't you plug your radio show? When are you on?
I'm on Monday through Friday from 11 p.m. to 2 a.m. And all of my shows are available on WGNRadio.com and podcast.
So there's no reason, even if you're not up at that hour, to not hear the show.
Plus, we do this thing. You've got a couple of my calls, my last calls.
Sure, of course.
So those are fun. We just put those. We've been calling legislators lately, just leaving them messages at 10 to 2 in the morning. It's our wake-up call. Fix the state.
Yeah, yeah.
Get a budget.
Hey, you can get behind me on this. You know what I'm doing? Because you don't hear the show as much as you used to in the old days. I'm doing mental competency tests for the people that run the state.
Okay.
Because they'd have to be crazy to not fix this problem.
I'm
taking the first one.
Okay.
I'm submitting to a mental competency exam, a similar exam.
Are you setting the bar for everybody else?
Well, look, if I take it, then why can't the governor and Redonio and Durkin and obviously Cullerton and my favorite, Madigan, why can't they all be subject to the same test? Because, again, we're not curing a disease here.
No.
We're trying to get rid of the disease, which would be the people that are currently in charge, apparently in all posts and on both parties. So they got to go. They got to go.
Yeah, absolutely. Get it done.
So they'll be taking the exam. I think I'm taking the exam next week, and then I'm guessing they'll turn it down and not take my calls for a while before they finally submit.
Well, if you can give me any of their numbers, we will leave them messages to get ready for the test.
Yeah, you want to take it as well?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Of course. I'm applying for my firearms ownership identification card on the show, by the way.
By the way, those two things are not related.
But there is a mental competencies section there where you have to reveal whether or not you have to, open up your privacy rights and say, you can look at my background, any therapy I've received, psychological exams.
Right. Yeah, if you're willing to do what you've done to the state, there's got to be something wrong with you. We'd like to find out what it is.
What it is. We're losing money.
9:46. Listen to Patty tonight at 11 or catch it on podcast. Same for us and the podcast thing anyway. And let's do this. Quick break back, and we'll talk some more funny women in a second at 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own.
You are listening to station WGN.
Steve Cochran Show continues. That's Dave Hennett on guitar. Crank it. Makes my day in a bunch of ways. Patty Vasquez is here, and Patty is going to be performing Sunday Night Where? Let me turn your microphone
on. I'm going to turn my own microphone on. I got buttons over here.
Yeah, you do.
You don't own me.
Nice buttons.
All right, maybe do a little bit. I'll be at Stage 773 on Belmont for the Chicago Women's Funny Festival performing Patty Melt at 7 o'clock.
And the Chicago Women's Funny Festival, now in its fifth year, somehow Jill and Liz, who started this, have remained friends. You guys ever fight?
Have we fought?
No, I usually give in.
Yeah, she gives it. I overpower her usually.
Mm-hmm. Talk about some of the really funny women that people can see this weekend.
We have a great group called Kates, which is a Chicago-based stand-up group, and their kind of mantra is about supporting women on stage. So they create a really like fun and easy, nice environment where women can just get up and do comedy. And so some of their best of are coming.
Well, that's great. And
yeah. There's Party Cops who
Vicky and Kelly.
They were on Patty's show last
They're very
night.
Funny. They're party cops. They make sure that you're partying hard enough. The cops arrive and they just want to make sure that you've got that cooler filled and all the ice is keeping everything going.
Everything's up to code.
That's right. Up to code. Yep.
Now, when you guys mentioned Tina Fey earlier, Tina Fey, maybe she's one in a million, maybe she isn't, but this type of opportunity for women to be showcased on stages all over, but in environments like this where you can be inspired by other women around you and see great performances is good too. So I think about that little girl from America's Got Talent And there's shows you can bring your kids to. And if you got a little kid that makes you laugh at home, why not? Bring her out and inspire her.
And the thing is, you know, you saw Carol Burnett at the Chicago Theater not too long ago.
I think she'll make it.
I think so. Well, she even had a story about Lucille Ball talking about being, you know, she was a star when she came back for her second show and was still having to fight against all the dudes on the set. And, you know, it continues. It's surprising that we still have people who are like, oh, I don't know about it. This is such a great opportunity to see all different kinds of humor. And there's something for everybody, and it's really just celebrating, you know, female humor. But that doesn't mean it's for women. It's not.
No, dudes funny can come to the funny. Show. Yeah, we should say we that. It's women performing, but men and boys can show.
Oh, not only that, they're encouraged. We would love to have a lot. I think it's a very supportive environment. It's just it's celebrating everything, really. Humor and laughter.
Humor and laughter.
Mm-hmm.
And
love.
Funny. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you'll be working Sunday night.
Sunday night.
All right, you open tomorrow night at what time?
First show's at 8 o'clock.
And what time do you expect your freak out to be? 7:30? 7:45?
7.
Maybe right when we wake up tomorrow morning.
Yeah. That's when we start texting.
Start
are
early.
People going to come?
Nope.
So each year you panic thinking no one will show up.
Exactly.
Yep. Yeah, yeah. You're going to be just fine.
And people always do show
up. They do,
up.
Of course.
And where is stage 773?
It's at 1225 West Belmont, which is at Belmont and Racine.
You can get tickets for the full festival. You can get show tickets as well. Just do this, will you? Go to 773.com or call 773-327-5252. There's also a Stage 773 box office. I'm excited for you guys. I can't imagine the amount of work and detail that goes into this, but I'm really glad you do it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, and Patty?
Yes.
Sunday night for you. And
Sunday night.
At 11.
Mm-hmm.
Bill and Wendy, coming up, 720 WGN. I know we have a show to do, but we're taking pictures. I've got some more texts, too. These are people that have Trump birthday ideas.
Been some good ones so far.
A lot of good ones.
Yeah.
Trump gift, PermaSeal to fill the craps. Can we try that again?
Take two.
PermaSeal to fill the cracks and gaps in his logic.
Okay.
PermaSeal Trump.
Perfect.
Not working for you? We can go up more.
No. PermaSeal will get the job done.
Trump birthday gift, an indictment for impersonating a presidential candidate.
Okay.
A t-shirt with an arrow pointing at him that says, I'm with the narcissistic lunatic.
That's good.
I like that one.
It's an upgrade on I'm with stupid. A better rug. Suntanning solution for around his eyes. I hadn't noticed this till this person brought it up, but he does have like
raccoon
white circles.
Thing, yeah.
He's got the white circles because they don't paint.
It's because he wears the goggles.
He wears the goggles
when he
in
sleeps?
The tanning. Oh, yeah.
Goggles. It's against the law not to wear goggles.
So how does everybody not have that?
Most people probably take them off when they go in there.
And I guess the other thing, too, is they probably don't have it set on 11, whatever your tanning setting is. Do they have settings? I don't know.
They do.
Oh, they do?
I think they do.
Have you spray tanned?
You're not talking. Are you talking spray tan? Or are you talking
spray
like a tanning bed?
Different.
Bin?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Spray tan is when they just spray.
Trump looks like a paint on.
He could get a spray tan, but I don't think so with that white underneath.
Let's see. A heart. These are other Trump birthday gifts. Rosie O'Donnell dartboard that gets to throw the darts back. I like that. A freaking soul. Let's see. Donald Trump's birthday. A supersized boot to the head. A shock collar so he stops yapping. Half of the Wizard of Oz, give him a brain and a heart. A class. Give him a case of class for his birthday, since he has none. A duct tape to put over his big fat mouth.
That's a second duct tape suggestion.
It is. A lobotomy and a pair of teeny tiny, tiny, teeny gloves.
Ooh.
Thank you, darling.
He loves when we make fun of his hands. Donald Trump, your Republican nominee. Bill and Wendy coming up in a second. We, of course, wish the best for everybody. You know, I don't know how you cannot say this. You wish the best for everybody in Orlando for all that they've gone through. Steve will have the news in a second on this tragic story of this little boy and the continuing fallout from what happened in Orlando on Sunday. And, of course, you can't forget that the Voice contestant who was murdered after a show on Friday night in Orlando, it's got to stop, you know, at some point. But you know, the really tough stuff, especially if you're a parent, I don't even mean a parent, that's cliche, for anybody. I think about this little boy taken away by a gator. I mean, come on.
At Disney.
It's the worst story ever.
It's unimaginable.
We've got a second here, Sandberg. Would you like to promote tomorrow's show and tell me what's on it? I know that one of the things we'll have will be Bob Dold, the congressman. Dold has the guts to step up and say that he is now asking for common sense gun legislation. He'll be on tomorrow morning at 6:20. What else are we promoting?
Chuck Todd will be on at 6:40.
From Meet the Press.
Dennis Fitzsimmons at 7.
Fitzsimmons,
7:10.
This is a good thing. This is the independent maps controversy. Dennis Fitzsimmons, a former CEO of the Tribune Company, is volunteering his time to help put these petitions together so that redistricting can take place and the maps will actually look like legitimate legislative districts as opposed to districts that are specifically set up to make sure these people stay in office.
Bill Curtis at 7:20.
Bill Curtis joining us.
Yes.
Well, that's nice. Is he plugging something or he just missed me?
He misses you.
Okay.
Gretchen Carlson from Fox News.
Good.
Ryan Dempster, of course, and Kurt Bynum.
Yeah. Ryan Dempster misses you.
Ryan Dempster misses me and Kurt Byram from NBC and the Golf Channel.
We just saw him.
We were in the U.S. Open. We just saw him the other day.